Tuesday, October 10th. Pardon. Tuesday, October 10th, 2000, 9:31 p.m. Leaving Malvern Center T Station, Malvern, Mass. Well, Lord have mercy. Today that I can hardly comprehend being true. But it might be. And I'll know tomorrow. I'll definitely know tomorrow. I met a girl on that line named Eleni. I didn't meet her at Land's End. I met her in the funniest of places. Take piss against dentist building wall, by the way. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. There's a website called MSN. I think it has something to do with Microsoft. I'm fairly certain it has something to do with Microsoft, though I'm not positive of what those letters stand for. MSN. I'm just not sure. But they have chat rooms, they have email, they have all sorts of things. Anyway, I went there yesterday because I was bored with Land's End. And so I just went hunting. I didn't even go there on purpose. I went there because I was trying to get into the Lyceum, and I'd been trying to come up with ways to get a membership. I don't know, it was all fucked up. But I saw on the Hotmail, I went there and it was okay, so mostly a waste of time. And I don't know why I went there again today. But it was probably the same reason, boredom and restlessness. Okay, so I went there again today, and the funny thing is that I talked to one girl there that I really liked. Her name was Patricia, and we got along really well, but the computer cut out on me, and I couldn't get back to wherever, to like how I'd found her or whatever it was. There's like 9 romance chat rooms or something, even though it seems like there's only one. They're numbered. And I couldn't get back to number 9. Eventually, I did get back to number 9, but she was long gone. But there I was, and I decided to stick around. And, so this girl comes on whose handle is Lily, and, Lily and then some numbers. I forget the numbers. Anyway, I don't know. Our banter began almost immediately because she said she didn't whisper with anybody. And so I decided to tease her about the whole thing. And eventually I did tease her. I did whisper to her, and she wanted me to whisper to her. And so it was kind of this sync thing where we wanted to talk to each other eventually. And gosh, we talked. We must have talked for 3 hours straight. I didn't do any work. After a certain point, it was a good thing that I had done work already, because we talked like the whole afternoon, and it was cheerful, and it was flirty, and it was friendly and funny and enjoyable. But then I probed deeper because I had to, because I had nothing to lose, really. She told me she was 23. She's a pretty blonde girl, blue eyes, and she had no boyfriend and had never had a romance. And that didn't make any sense to me. That didn't make any sense to me at all. Attractive 23-year-old women, college-educated, have romances. Unless something is wrong. Something prevents it or diverts it, or there's something. There's got to be some circumstance. So I asked her, and she wouldn't tell me at first, and I was ready to back off because it wasn't really my business. But then I didn't want to. I really didn't want to. And I don't think she wanted me to either, but at the same time, she most definitely didn't want me to pursue it. She was sort of caught between wanting to say this thing and assuredly not wanting to say this thing. She told me finally. I told her something first. I told her about my brothers. I guess that's painful. I mean, it is a painful thing. It's a pain I've always lived with. But the difference between her pain and mine was that I've talked about my pain before to people many, many times, countless times. And it turned out that this pain, which she had carried around with her for 3 years, she had never talked about to anybody. She was raped in college by a fellow student. She went to a clinic a couple of weeks later, and they saw that what had happened, and she denied it, that it had ever happened, and she didn't tell anybody until today, and she told me. It was ridiculous. And it was wonderful. I mean, like, you know, it was ridiculous in a certain sense that she hadn't told anybody, and it was ridiculous that she was telling me, a complete stranger on the computer, and yet it was wonderful that somehow I came at her from an angle that just like sort of got through her defenses by not realizing they were there. They weren't even able to go up. They didn't even detect me as being someone who was seeking that until it was too late, and then the desire. And she's such a romantic girl. She's such romantic notions of things she wants, but she's been held back pretty terribly, it seems, by this very traumatic event. And she hasn't allowed it to heal, and she hasn't allowed it to pass into her past. And there are men who want her, but she doesn't want them because of this, because she can't get close to them, because of what happened. I'm sure after a while it became codified and sedimented, but after a certain point it was old. And I honestly believe that what happened today was a result of her wanting to finally bust through her own sedimentation and to be the person she is, young and vibrant and funny and all sorts of things. And she wanted to feel good again. She doesn't really feel good about herself in a lot of ways. And she was amazed that I was so attentive and nice. I think a lot of it was she allowed me to be. Some of it was me. Some of it is I'm a damn fucking nice, smooth talker. Smooth in a nice sense. I'm an attentive romantic, engaged talker, typer, whatever. But part of it was that she allowed it. She allowed me to get that close. So now, I don't know what happens next. She's in Florida. I'm in Boston. She's from Connecticut. She ended up down there because her parents were down there. Then they went back to Connecticut, or they went to Connecticut. I don't know if I have the story quite right. But there she still is in Florida. And, you know, there was a lot I didn't get. It's sort of like there was the flirty part. There was the serious part. And then there was the coda part where we realized together, in a way, what had happened. How much had happened in the course of a couple of hours. And there we were. Suddenly, two people who've never met each other, who perhaps geographically at one time or another been close to each other. I was down there last fall for the fish festival. But, just, I don't know. Is anything random? Charette says there are no accidents. So if there are no accidents, there are no accidents. And that's fine. That's, you know, that's what it is. And what happens next, I don't know. But today was awfully important. And it was important in a way that the first time you encounter someone, especially online, is rarely, rarely important. I mean, hardly ever do such things get told. So, it's real. And it's scary, but it's real. And I'm ready to run with it. I'm fucking ready to blow this girl away with attention and kindness and humor. Whatever I've got to offer, I am ready to do. I don't give a fuck if it's a computer. I can't help but hang on to a certain degree to Tim Leary's comment about the internet being the acid of the 90s and how he felt that online connections could be very, very potent because you were jacking directly into each other's minds. He was right. He was right about a lot of fucking things. And I've been fighting that comment, taking it seriously because of who said it and of my deep, deep, deep affection and love for him and respect. Respect beyond respect. Leary's up there with Huxley in my estimation. So, you know, there really isn't, there aren't that many I come even close to what I think about Leary, much less around his level. And there's so much we don't know about each other. She's never heard of fish, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. She said she likes classical music. I like classical music, but it doesn't blow me away. There are times when something I hear blows me away, but, you know, this is going to be, if it continues tomorrow, and if it continues along the same lines, with the same kind of intensity, and the same kind of curiosity, and funniness, and delight, this could be what I wanted. I've been disappointed so often. Questioned and doubted myself so much that, and the thing with Laura is still smoking in the grave, really. It really ended yesterday. It ended Friday when I threw out AOL Instant Messenger and took it off my computer. But the funny thing is that today the last thing I did before leaving on the 6 o'clock shuttle.
Yeah, fucking, what the fuck was that, man? What the fuck was that?
I just nearly got hit by a car. that slowed down at a red light and then suddenly started speeding up again. Almost hit me and then blew the fuck through the red light. Wow, Malden. Malden bringing me back down to earth, or at least trying.
Fuck you, Malden!
That felt better. It didn't hit me. I don't think anything can bring me down tonight. If it's like it was today, tomorrow, if it picks up and continues, if we both continue to take the possibility of something between us seriously and pursue it, then, wow. Well, then it's just a matter of getting her up here. And then if I go to San Francisco, bring her with me. I mean, I'll do all those things. I don't know. I just don't know what to expect. And part of me doesn't want to believe, but I installed MSN Messenger. Well, that's what I was saying. I got rid of AOL Instant Messenger, and I installed MSN Instant Messenger before I left today, so that we can talk tomorrow. So I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm doubtful only that I can't believe in it, but I think that Eleni feels the same way, that she can't believe in it either, and so she can't believe I'm real, and I can't believe she's real, and neither of us can believe the other's intentions are completely sincere and cool. So if we both show up tomorrow, then it'll confirm what we both hope is true. That's what it's about. I'm going to talk to her on the phone. I want to meet up with her. I mean, if she's as enthused as I am, then we have to find a way to get together, and soon. I'm ready. Ready to begin continuously. That's what my poem was about for her, that she's going to get tomorrow morning when she comes to work, as I promised. Spirits, I have a maybe. Spirits. This is like Samantha. This is as close as I've gotten. This is the closest I've gotten since Samantha. I was 99. Last time I kissed a girl and really wanted to was 96. Last time I kissed a girl and really wanted to uninhibitedly. 91. Alright? So that's where things stand. That's where they stand. And I wasn't a coward today talking to her. I was very straightforward. And she dug my honesty a lot. Especially when I was willing to say I don't know. Which at a crucial point it was. I said, I think we're on the same page. And she said, what does that mean? And I said, I don't know. was thinking earlier this evening how I just want something to be happening. I want something to be happening. I've been waiting so long to get to the starting line. And no, it's time for something to be happening. So I'm going to send her my poem, my picture, I already sent her a note. We'll see. I'm going to say hello to my little friend, the trees, but I'm going to turn this off first. Good night.
Sanyo X with Commander Q.
36
and
Commander
Q.
Thursday, October 12th, 2000, 10:55 p.m., leaving Malden Center T Station, Malden, Mass. Today was a bad day, not because anyone made it a bad day for me. I made it a bad day for myself. And it's not because there were any residual effects other than psychological. The truth of it is, I actually did good while harming myself. God, I was in that stupid fucking romantic chat room until 10 o'clock tonight. I can't even believe I'm here. I'm only here just before 11 because I got lucky. I got ridiculously lucky with the bus and then the two trains I had to take to get here. I haven't written a word. I've been reading this comic book all day that I bought yesterday. The Invisibles. I bought the first volume, which was the first 8 issues. I wasn't even in Lenzen after a certain point. Eleni never came back. She never contacted me in any way. She never showed up in the Microsoft Messenger. She never responded to my emails. She disappeared. And I sent her a goodbye email. I feel flayed. Tired. Flayed and tired. I just have to get through one more day. But then it starts up again on Monday. 9 fucking months of this. Less than 2 weeks back from Big Cypress. I was at this job, and I can stay at this job forever. They're not going to make it permanent. They'll probably eventually eliminate it altogether. That's what I foresee. But who am I to say anything? I've created such a hell in my head, and I'm trapped in it in ways that are ridiculous. I want to get to work tomorrow. I don't want to go with Joe tomorrow night to see the musician he wants to see. I can't. I just can't do it. Tell him I'm sick. I wrote him a letter of recommendation and he wants me to do something with it. You know, I really don't need these headphones on and they're annoying the piss out of me. So I'm going to take them off. Loose connection, seems like. It's strange talking into this thing without them on, but I'm gonna have to assume it's working. Yeah, it's all the buttons that would prevent it from working are not in. They're all allowing it to work, and the battery level this machine so nicely has indicates there's not a lot, but ample battery power. I've become an internet junkie, which is really funny because I've never been a junkie to many things, hardly anything really, but I'm a junkie to the internet. And it's really bad. Land's End wasn't bad. Not at all. Land's End and email. But it's expanded and not in good ways. I keep thinking that I'll find something there that I'm looking for. That I seem to have lost faith. I can find some other way in the real world. This is the real world, right? I think so. The internet's kind of the real world too, but it's kind of goofy, fucked up real world. Never sleeps. Everything at once It's a psychedelic version of the real world, in good ways and bad. It really is. I wanted a girl tonight. I wanted to cyber with her because she said it didn't get her off. And it just made me all the hotter. Me, hot over cybering, something that I didn't enjoy until tonight. Until the pieces were in place. Someone young enough and someone not interested. My combination. There's always been resistance. There's never been love that was easy and that was wonderful and that, well, it took work, not anguish, anger. I'm glad I read The Invisibles. It was good. It says the utopia, the only utopia, is in one's head. That's the only place to find happiness. It's true. Suffering from anguish, Joe. Suffering from a deepening of my ongoing anguish. A flare-up, as it were. It's because I hoped. Because I met someone in pain. And because I eased it. And because being with her eased my pain. Because, I hope against hope that it was real. And the funny... the funny thing was... is that it was real in a certain way, I think. Wow, I'm crying and yawning at the same time and laughing. Strange. I think her story was true. And I think I was a catalyst because I was the first person she was able to tell. And she can't go back. She'll tell others. She'll tell the real people in her life. I don't know who. I don't know anything about her real life. But she'll tell someone. Now that she's told one person, she'll be able to tell another. The next person will be real. I'll just be the angel on the computer. That's all. Those fantasies she talked about, they had nothing to do with me. Maybe they seemed to at the time. Maybe even to her they seemed to at the time, but it really had to do with someone she knows, someone she will know, someone in her own world, which I'm not. Where I came into Lansing today. I knew she was looking at me in her own way. Wondering where I'd gone, wondering what had happened. I guess I miss her, but not really. Lost. You see, I'm not really lost because I know the answer. I'm just something. Lazy, arrogant, stupid. I don't know what the right word is. It's one thing not to know the answer, it's another thing to know the answer. I know that I have to leave this job. I know I have to leave where I'm living. In the smaller sense of living in Malden, and the larger sense of living in Boston. I have to go west. I have to find my way out there. The landlord freed me up to do this when he stopped sending me leases. Well, no lease? Fine, motherfucker. I need to go. That's what I need to do. I need to go. It's never going to get any better the way it is. It's never going to get any better. It just won't. I'm in a rut. I've been in a rut for the longest time. It served its purpose. The job served its purpose. It gave me stability and money to go on fish tour, and to go to Burning Man, and to transition, to make the transition from graduate school, the end of graduate school, to working. It's given me credentials which are valid. But it can't go on. It simply can't go on. I don't know what the next thing is. Maybe it's homelessness, not in a destitute way. The only reason I have a home right now, is to have a place to put my things. I had a place to put my things. I was absolutely safe. I'd leave. I feel desperate tonight, spirits. I feel desperate tonight. I feel like all this shit. When it's not. Everything's ugly when it's not. That girl not coming back. It harmed me. It harmed me. I was in those rooms looking for another. And what if it had been the first girl and not the second? I stopped believing. My vibe changed. Last night I looked at the full moon and I thought I could tell my love for Eleni via its light. Still can't believe that that's not true. Wind is waning. It's late. I'm very tired. And I have another day of this bullshit to slog through. The funny thing is, yesterday morning I got up hopeful. I was tired, I was cranky. But there was this possibility of something magical having happened. It didn't. Did, but only for a brief time. I'm no predator. I'm no anything. Tired as hell. Night spirits. I'm tired as hell. I want the pain to stop. But I don't want life to stop. I just want the pain to stop. I go through this every summer. It seems like summer is my worst period in many ways. I feel alone. I feel destitute. I wouldn't know who to turn to. I wanted so much for it to be real. This time. My trees are coming up. I'm not going to let them see me dropping into this thing like this. They're too good. A good part of me. Saturday, October 14th, 2000. 5:32 p.m. Newman Road, Malden, Mass. I finally managed to get out my door. Been home since shortly after the last entry. I was out of work yesterday. I did manage to stumble to Star 24, Mutant Star. I couldn't even purchase food correctly. It all went wrong, but. Well, life is never as bad as it seems, I guess. Eleni wrote me, told me what I figured was true. Having mixed emotions, being embarrassed about what she told me, feeling vulnerable because she doesn't know me, and she's told me her darkest secret. And I wrote to her. No. was honest about everything. And it touched her a lot. She calls my letters beautiful and they make her cry. It's really something else. It's what I wanted. It's not the way I expected to get it. Loving and laughter in her life. Like nobody's business. And, hey, I do too. We don't know each other at all. Door is open and we seem to have stepped through it together, and we seem to be taking more tentative steps together. Every woman is different. And if she's to be mine, so be it. I said very little about this to anybody. I mentioned it in passing to Barbara, I mentioned it in passing to my friend Joe at Land's End. Quite a distance away. Her birthday's in November, though. Could I come up with a ticket to Orlando that I could afford? Shit, yeah. I think that there's a holiday in November, too. Use as my excuse. No. My sense of the whole thing is that it's still pretty heavy, and it needs to get lighter and more normal. More of it needs to be in the realm of ordinary relations between people. It'll feel more real that way. That's just my sense of it. I don't know what's coming next. All I know is I fell apart when I thought it was over. I really fucking fell apart. I didn't go to work yesterday. And she wrote me, and I could have talked to her yesterday at work. But, I was home. because they're good. I mean, here it is, 20 minutes to 6, and I'm heading out for a Saturday afternoon movie. Isn't that funny? I haven't really eaten in 2 days. I'm going to remedy that. Will they be annoyed at me at work? Well, probably. Do I care? No. If I knew I was sick. So now I just need to get to the train. Joy's book came in the mail today from Barbara. That's good news. I'm sure Joe's bummed that I didn't go to a concert with him last night, but, you know, I could. I had to stay home.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
Ha ha!
4 and 10. Voice Journal of Raymond Sula Jr., volume 262. It is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022, 7:20 p.m., Bungalow C, attic, study, work table, Millcrest, Massachusetts. Well, the Burning Man effort took a strange turn when I suddenly became involved in a flame war with someone at the Multicultural Person of Color neighborhood who called me a racist and then banned me from the site for 24 hours. Well, that was that. I deleted that server from my Discord application, whatever. There was one fellow there I talked to who was friendly and nice, and I sent him a message saying, here's my email if you want to be in touch some more. That'd be great, but I'm not going to... You know, it's funny that this reminded me of something I was listening to during the day. I've been airing on the radio Acid Dreams, The Complete Social History of LSD, The CIA, The 60s and Beyond by Martin A. Lee and Bruce Lane, originally published in 85. I read it on Within's Within some time ago, end to end. And I decided to find the audiobook version of it to stream because I was running out of psychedelic lectures ideas. There's just so much. And then it starts to drift into just whatever guru of the week has come out with his book declaring things that have already long been declared and gathering a circle around himself. Just stuff that's not that interesting to me. This book is good, though. This is a social history. It's very detailed, very interesting. Probably lots of rivulets that run from it in terms of topic matters it covers in a few pages that might be covered at greater length elsewhere. In the 60s, and I think always, but especially in the 60s, there were two strains of the counterculture. There was the political strain, the anti-war / civil rights strain, and then there was the psychedelic strain, which was more about music and art. And I guess you could say there's a third strain, which was kind of like the yippy, goofy, Ken Kesey kind of stuff that one might think of as a third strain, or lump in with the second one. And political people don't have a sense of humor, often. And they're often very strident and territorial and ideological. And if they see you as the enemy, then they react to you as the enemy. I don't have any enemies at Burning Man. I've never had any enemies at Burning Man. But I've met some really weird people in one way or another. And this particular person turned out to be the next weird person I've met because of Burning Man. Unfortunately, because I think she and I had had a conversation or two that were friendly, but I already got the feeling she was kind of flaky, even with those friendly conversations. And just unfortunate. And when I get banned for 24 hours in the middle of a discussion, that was just a dick move. and I doubt anyone will defend me there. I doubt anybody will care what became of me. It depresses me to a certain degree, but I guess it really wasn't a good fit. I was trying to do my best with it because it seemed like, why not? And so there's that. And then the flip side of it is that the resale tickets go on sale. People want to sell their tickets that they bought. That goes on starting 4/20, April 20th, my state to start. And and the good thing about that resale thing, I hope, fingers crossed, is that there'll, from that point on, be enough tickets floating around that we'll be able to snap up to. That's all we gotta do, just two. And then I'm gonna figure out a way to get us a spot at Center Camp for No Borders Bookstore. I might register No Borders Bookstore as a theme camp anyway. It seems like it might be a good move. But honestly, I don't have to do that till the 28th. And so I'm kind of thinking, if we luck out with tickets between the 20th and the 28th, and we'll have tickets in hand, I can register as a theme camp, have tickets in hand, start pursuing further ends. And if No Borders Bookstore needs to be a theme camp in order for it to get greater recognition in coming years, if we go this year, if we go future years, then that's fine. But this was it was a weird experience, and I learned things from it, but it also was unpleasant and unfortunate, and I will take the lessons and leave behind the bad vibes as much as I possibly can. I'm starting later tonight because we've been watching a show called Shadow and Bone, based on the novels of the Grishaverse by Leah Barduno, I think her name is. It's a sci-fi fantasy book series. It's about 8 books, and it's now a Netflix series, and it's a very good one. Cassie has been schooling me in how it's different and similar to the books, which is fun. So I have till 10:15 tonight to work here, and I'm going to be, I've been mushing up many musics, getting it closer to ready, and I feel like it's almost there. Last night I kind of formulated a chart scheme plan for things I want to work into each of the 6 poems that are coming. They're essentially prelude poems to the 36 I'm going to write this fall, and marking the 10th anniversary of the Tanglegate Mythopoeia, which began, I guess, more formally in 2012 when I wrote the Tanglegate poems series within the musics. I mean, that many of the ideas and characters and so on had existed before that group of poems, or that group of poems when I finally started to pull them all together and create one place, one large, varied place. Testing how this sounds. Hold on. It sounds fine. Okay, so, right. Work has been fine. I find if I show up every day, have at it, it's good. Hold on, the jazz radio is steady. Hang on. So anyway, I'm still allowing for the possibility we not go this year. We don't get tickets, but I think that the path is now much further along than it was, and that's a good thing. Even though there have been bumps in the road, I have better understanding of things because of some of these bumps in the road have been very educational, and that's a good thing. I wish I could have learned them other ways, but the thing I've come away with is that once it gets more familiar, we have a valid project and we're valid people and we belong there if we choose to come and we find our way there. And that's not going to change. But it's also a warning that there's a fresh breed of sort of militant idiot. But there's always been weirdos there. There's always been, like, some of them were like New Age weirdos I seem to recall encountering in years gone by. But there's always this, like, litmus test you come up against with some people you run into where you have to meet their standards in order to be part of their thing. And, I don't need to meet anybody's litmus test at all. Period. I wish it wasn't like that. But the other thing about the Acid Dreams book is that there are people talking about how things got dark at the end of the 60s and the optimism and idealism that had been there started to fade. And they said that they assumed that people with whom they shared an enthusiasm for psychedelics were like themselves, and if their experiences with LSD was idealistic and hopeful and loving and all-inclusive, then everybody would be like that, of course. And it turns out that that's not true, or at least it's not always true. So I have to keep in mind that my vision of Burning Man, what I see and feel about it, is mine. It belongs to me, but it's not anybody else's. Some people will have visions that are similar, the same. We will share that vision. Some people, it won't be true at all. They'll have their own reasons for going, they'll have their own prejudices and preferences. And I mean, that's always true about everything, but it's just like, sometimes you learn the lesson and then it fades from view. And you think you know the lesson, but you know it more theoretically and from distant experience, and then you learn it again and it's fresh in your mind. So I was already veering away from this. That's the thing. It wasn't hardly days ago I was sitting here recording my thoughts and really uncomfortable with this whole thing, because it felt wrong. It felt unexpressed. It felt like the whole thing, like, this neighborhood was intended for people of color, period. But they never really, it was never expressly stated before today. I left it expressly stated at that site. Anybody reading any of that now, who knows if anybody will, but they will see expressly stated that if you are not a person of color, you're essentially not fully welcomed. Meaning when there's a pool of tickets for people to join in purchasing, to have available to them to purchase, you're not going to be one of them. You can be an ally, you can support, you can do whatever the hell you want, but now, do I think that's actually going to be true in the end? I doubt it, as much as I believe it. Burning Man is not a consistent event. And I don't think it'll end up being true any more for this than for anything else. I think their consistency is very high on most things. But I had to withdraw. I think as long as it was seeming positive and friendly and I was reasonably part of things, I was not going to withdraw. I get attached to things. But I essentially got shown the door very rudely. And it could have come back. But I don't think so. I don't really want a camp with a bunch of people. I don't want that responsibility necessarily, unless it was people I knew. And I could really have a stake in them having a good time and be determined it was going to happen. If I, by all means, I had it handed. I just don't want random people to comprise a theme camp. But I do think having a theme camp is probably likely a good way to approach it. And I'm hoping that the resale of tickets event will prove the path in. And honestly, like, I want No Borders Bookstore at Center Camp. And I can't help but think that I want to somehow be part of Center Camp. Like, have our bookstore there, but also volunteer there. I don't know what that would look like, but that's really what I want. That's really what I want. So, it's still getting tickets is the foremost thing. Still. It hasn't stopped then, now, or until it's completed. But then I think that getting theme camp status and then filling out the volunteer form for Center Camp, I really think that that's the way to go. That would make no sense. And we don't have to camp at Center Camp, but I want us to be part of that because I think that that's where our bookstore belongs. So this has convinced me of things, it's reminded me of things, it's kind of humbled me about things, but I feel free and clear of something that was, it could have been a reasonably good fit, but as it turned out, it wasn't. And it's happened before, and the Green Tortoise is not running to Burning Man as it used to. That would have been the easiest thing, to pay for a ticket on the Green Tortoise to camp at their camp that they used to set up. Would have been really nice and simple. We did that the first year Cassie went, and it was so easy, but apparently that was frowned upon. Now they don't do that anymore. So it's still a matter of figuring it out and of letting go of that, and that proved to not be something it's doing again. That was the first thing that was like, okay, that's not going to work out. Okay, then trying this neighborhood, well, it turned out that didn't work out either, but it's just a matter of finding the next thing and learning as much as possible from each step and letting go of the frustration as each step doesn't work out but leads to the next. So since there are still steps ahead to be taken, the effort goes on. And at this point, I don't feel beholden to anybody. I was kind of feeling beholden to the people involved in this neighborhood because I kind of mixed in with them and was trying to become involved and encouraging and doing everything I would do as part of a group. But, you know, I've withdrawn from that, and I'm not going to be returning to it. I'm going to move on. And hopefully this will sharpen my focus on the moves to make that need to be made and making them successfully. Maybe I'm just trying to recover some dormant piece of myself. I'm not really sure. Clearly something I need to do and going there again, going to the trouble of going there again after so many years. I think Cassie's fine. I don't think she needs to go again. She wants to go again because I'm going, and she probably wants to look out for me and share it with me, but she doesn't need, otherwise she wasn't like campaigning for us to go again. I think she was done. I'm not done. I'm going to find my way back. I'm going to see what it's like, and I'm going to see what that means, how it feels to be back there. And if not this year, then next year. That's where I stand at this point. Okay, it's time for me to read more of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Hound of the Baskervilles, starring Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. I think I'm up to chapter five. And lots of cynical work to do. And I have a feeling that there are new paths to be laid from here to Burning Man, to Black Rock City, and there. So it's a ways away. And I was thinking about climbing just now. I was using cynical at that just thing, and it's like, I don't really necessarily want to plan anything. I mean, none occur to me. I use cynical, but I sort of feel like Raymond, at least this year. Maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know. Okay, so this volume has begun, and more.
Fire, 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 fire Would you turn your mind to the same?
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. Alright, it is 19th, 2022 at 6:30 PM, Buffalo C. Paddock Study Work Table, Melker, Massachusetts. It's been a few days since the last entry in this voice journal. Ended up having a long weekend. And worked on the sound of home. There's still a lot more to go, but got a lot of pieces sorted through. Back to work today. I heard from my friend Greg, who I had wanted to get interviewed for the open tech writer job at my work. And I thought I was going to talk to him last week. I didn't hear one word from him. He was in touch today apologizing and saying he unplugged completely from everything. And he apologized for not being in touch with me about the open role, which might be two open roles. I'm not positive, but it seems to be. So I'm going to have a conversation with him tomorrow. I'm also going to talk to the recruiter, lead recruiter for the position. The lead recruiter for all positions there, I'm not sure. But, yeah, so that's good. I would love to bring Greg on board, without a doubt. I think it would bring his career a new chapter, good new chapter. Something sounds like he's fairly well burnt out on where he's at, which was where I used to be at. It's under a different name. It used to be PHT, then it was ERT. Now it's Clario. Same company. I'm kind of a work people to the bone and then to dust and then out the door. I would love to take him away from that in a different way from the way I was taken away from it, which was laid off in the course of mourning, but a much more positive way. And bring him to my workplace and watch him flourish in a positive new environment. I'm going to be helping to hire both people, which is good. I think I have an idea for the next Mini Musics. It's going to be called Thrift Store, or Thrift Shop, I'm not sure which. And it's going to be kind of a bit of a mentor backstory. I have to do a little bit of research on what I've written about the character so far, but I don't think it's too much yet. I think that's where it's going to start. It's taken me a long time to get to this point, but once I start, I think it's going to go well. So anyway, Radio Cynical, three days from the time I turn on, so that needs to be dealt with forthwith. I guess I'm gonna just dive in. This work table needs a little bit of sorting to be a comfortable space. And so I'm gonna do that. I'm trying to get myself organized for tomorrow. Oh, one more thing. Tomorrow is a big day as well, aside from these things, because tomorrow is when the Burning Man 2022 resale starts occurring. At 3 o'clock Boston time. On the Burning Man website, in the area where people have their profiles, opportunities going to be presented to get in line to purchase tickets to buy tickets from others that are reselling them. And so, Cassie and I both have a profile, and we're both going to log on at 3 and see what happens. It's not like a live ticket line where you know in that moment that you got them or not. It's more like you register and then you get emails when tickets become available for you to purchase. So I can't even imagine how the software tool actually works if they're using that. I think it's a good one. But yeah, tomorrow is when we start learning whether we're really going to get to go. The neighborhood I was associated with that crashed and burned, for me anyway, and so rather than scrounging to find some new neighborhood or village or whatever, we're going to do this, and I think I might register our bookstores at Theme Camp as well, but that will not. Doing that does not make available tickets, but it might next year make it so that being a Theme Camp this year will mean that it's possible to get tickets next year a little bit easier. I don't know, honestly, but anyway, so that's tomorrow. Tonight, between now, which is 6:39, something like that, 6:37, and 10 o'clock, I'm going to be sitting here and working. I keep thinking that the radio may actually run until April 30th, May 1st weekend. Because if I pulled that off, then I could take the next 3 weeks off for the Jellicle Guild, for the trip we're making to Colorado to see Cassie's family, and for the week in between, those two. So, but to do that, I think it would really be wise to try and pull off a run of weekends right to the end of the month. Yeah, so I'm tired. I am I think once I'm working tonight and focused on that, I'll be better. Doing better seems to be my perpetual effort. I'm either doing better or vowing to do better. It's funny. Alright, that's enough for now.
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3.
Alright, it's 4:20, bicycle day.
It's 7:11 p.m. Muglosi. Paddock study, work table, Northridge, Massachusetts. So today, Cassie and I got online at 3 o'clock at the Burning Man site, and we put in for a total of 4 Burning Man tickets. On my profile, I put in for 2 of the tickets at the $1,500 cost, and on her profile, she put in for 2 of the tickets at the $575 cost. So either way, it's going to be expensive, but we're now in the waiting line on the wait list. Not knowing what's going to come out. But we've now done everything we can to get tickets, and now it's a matter of waiting to see what comes of it. If the cheaper tickets come through first, that would be good. If they don't, we'll buy the more expensive ones, and then we'll keep them until such time as if the more expensive one, the less expensive ones come through. It is certainly an iffy proposition, that's for sure. And I don't know if it's going to work, but we're not going to buy, we're not going to buy both sets. In the end, we just need 2, so we'll see. I was helping today with getting the, not one but 2 technical writer jobs on my team full-time that are now available, hired for. I was working with the recruiter guy, looking online at this tool, this website, web interface tool, for hiring, looking at resumes, and nodding and shaking my head at them. It was really strange. It was really strange. I've never been on the hiring end of employment before, always on the applying end. But I went through about 10 resumes, and I nodded at several of them. And as I was doing that, alongside of that, I was talking with Greg Kelly, my old colleague from back when, and we had a video call, hour-long video call, to talk about the job and the company, and I talked to the recruiter about him, so I think he's already in the mix, which is really good. I shared his resume with the recruiter as well, updated by my comments. So I honestly don't know what happens next. And all I can do is understand the process, follow the process, do my part. The funny thing is that given that it's 2 roles, I want Greg to get the senior one because I want to get more money. But I mean, either one, as long as he got enough money and as long as he got an offer letter, I think would be good. But I think the senior one would be more money, and that would be more assuring that he actually gets hired. So it's time away from my actual job, and yet it's very much part of it, because essentially for as long as neither one nor the other is hired for, it's just me doing the work, and that's less people doing the work. Tonight we saw, well actually between today and tonight, we saw the last 3 episodes of the Netflix TV show Afterlife. Ricky Gervais show, very funny man, but it's like the funniest and saddest show one could possibly imagine about a man who's lost his wife and is suicidal. And he lives in this strange little town in England, and it's quite a delightful show. It's really just, it's a special one. It's really good. It's really, really good, and I'm glad we saw it. So, I had an odd thought. Last night I was working on my mini musics poem. Next one, the mini musics poem. And I was feeling really, really frustrated about it. And so weirdly, I'm going to read the draft lines. And I don't know how much of this is going to actually end up in it at all. But maybe reading it aloud in some way, shape, or form will help. I cannot say for sure. It's 3 pages of draft lines, all dialogue. There's nothing around it, there's no structure, there's nothing to explain very much about where this is happening. So, Mini Musics 12 series, number 19, Thrift Shop, draft. If you lead me to reunion with my brothers, we will help you come at last to your home world. You and your captive people, says Riley plainly. Gatekeeper stirs the fire as though slow burnishing his reply in its flames. Mentor says nothing, marveling privately at this turn. How? Your people are imprisoned. We free them, lead them from Mentor's world at last to their own. Gatekeeper turns to Mentor. As easy as this? If their captors were men like us. What are they? A remnant. Of? Long ago there was a great violence through all the worlds, nearly all destroyed. And not men who warred? Men did not war of their own accord. They were thralled. Thralled? No common word for it. They were led to believe that to live well was to war. Root out enemies, name them, destroy or drive them off. Peace was weakness. The heart a hungry, violent thing. What of this remnant? Your people's ship stirred it, collided with it, crashed here on Mentor's world, long ruined by that ancient violence. Their captors? Not men. How defeated? Not, but maybe escaped. How? You and your knights build the path from where they should have come to where they are. Lead them away. Use every wit and weapon you have. There were 6 of us, too. We lost 4 in our battles. Fallen? No, consumed among the captors, but gone. How did you escape? I was a coward. She was too. They told us to run, so that we would survive. We became separated. Heard of that yellow building. Meet in my thrift shop. Why did you tell me none of this? I've told you every time. After I show you your home from her yellow building. You leave here, travel to see Abe. He sends you back, and you forget along the way. How do I find you? You arrive with your camera to my thrift shop. Ask me to hold it for you. You know you will forget everything there. What do I hope to accomplish there? Witness new and again my failure to help? You don't know. Abe sends you back again and again because you can know no peace until they are free. All right, well, I wasn't happy with this last night, these lines. I mean, I spent hours preparing to write them, and then I wrote them, and I really spent what seems like weeks preparing to write them, and when they finally came, they weren't terribly good. This is, like, just... It's the gist. It's just the gist. I have to build a structure around this conversation. I have to figure out what's missing. So that's my task. And if I do it well, then it might be a good poem. My intent with this poem is I have all these notes for these six poems that I'm in the process of trying to get started. And the first of the six travels from the yellow building to the remote land run in the back of the thrift shop to the festival, to Roddy's number one hut, stories of the brothers, the waterfall, the perfect law, the Duma Key. It's like a lot of ground, and I don't really cover hardly any of it. But it occurs to me now that this could be a conversation that takes place over the course of being at several locales. So that might be... I figure out that Mentor had his own six. He was a teacher. I was researching my dream ramps last night, and he crosses into the dream ramps. He knew Dreamwalker, and Dreamwalker's friend, the photographer. And I figured out that he had his own six, group of six, like the current group, that only he and the woman in the yellow building survived. And that they were only not destroyed because they hid. And so I think with focus this can come into play. But I don't know if it's ready. I don't know if it'll be ready for this cynical, honestly. I just don't know. I don't have scads of time left. So I'm gonna do what I can tonight. Maybe I'll make more progress than I fear I won't, and then that'll give me confidence to keep trying. After I read my Hound of the Baskervilles chapter, I'm going to switch over to Alchemistry Labs of Buffy Steam, to the Spirit Quest radio show that I haven't heard from this week. I just have a lot of ground to cover. And next week, I'm going to be at my workplace for 4 straight days, so that means less time for doing stuff that I would do when I'm working at home, in addition to actually working. So, in sum, I don't know. But I'm up here, and I'm going to really try.
Planet's sun is purple close and always coming. the shadows of the things that you will have been.